7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be the Week 11 recap, and we also had four teams on by this week. Indianapolis Colts, Tom, that's your team. The Jets, San Francisco 49ers, and the Carolina Panthers. Guys, how's it going?
Three of the shittiest teams in the NFL.
What?
Out this week. We got to see some quality football.
It was really nice not having the Colts play this week. As much as I love them, it's been a roller coaster season. You know, first half, they come out strong, looking good. And then the second half, they break my heart. It's like Groundhog's Day every week. Every week it's been like that, except this week. And it was a great set of noon games this week. The 3 p.m. and later games kind of sucked. But those noon games are absolutely awesome football.
The Indianapolis Colts are like that girlfriend who's like good for a week or two and stays clean, and then ODs on meth like consecutive weeks. Just an absolute train wreck of a team.
Wow.
That's what they are.
That's one way to put it.
They're good, they're clean, they're happy, and then, oh, something happened. They remember Andrew Luck left them, and they just crash and burn. Tom's so mad.
Nothing to
Tom's
say.
Tom's so mad.
Nothing.
First game of the week, we have the Tennessee Titans traveling to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers put up 40 points to the Tennessee Titans, 17. Roethlisberger, four touchdowns, almost 300 yards at 299. Le'Veon Bell, only 46 yards rushing, but we had Mr. Antonio Brown putting up 144, 10 catches, and three touchdowns.
We were talking last week. I know I was a big proponent of Antonio Brown, and these Thursday night games, we're going to have to start getting used to this, that the running backs, especially the bell cows like Le'Veon Bell, they're not going to be used as much. They're only getting 4 days of rest, and that's kind of what happened this week. Only 12 carries in this football game. Had a lot of receptions, 9 with the 57 yards. But this game was all about Big Ben and Antonio Brown finding their groove. They got on the Tennessee Titans early, had a great first drive, and kind of kept the pedal to the metal the whole game. Big time win for the Steelers. They're finally looking like that serious contender to taking the crown away from the New England Patriots in the AFC.
Should be very interesting. Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't take much out of Thursday night games either way. I don't get too excited. I don't get too down on a team because it's such a crapshoot. I hate playing against teams who have Thursday night players, and I hate playing Thursday night players. It's always a up and down, just emotional roller coaster. My favorite part of this game is, I forget exactly who was announcing, but like halfway through when Juju Smith-Schuster had a big game, he was like, yeah, this Pittsburgh crowd still trying to figure out how to say Juju, so they just yell Jew. And I was like, okay, I guess that's a thing to say.
That's probably not a good thing to say there.
It was pretty great.
What'd you guys think of the sky cam in this game? I kind of liked it, personally, especially watching Marcus Mariota. His picks, could tell they were coming a mile away as soon as he let the ball go, and you saw that defender break on the football. I liked watching the game from that version. Remind me of watching some of the game film that we do in the off season. But I don't know how the normal fan felt about it.
So, two things. One, I felt like every 5 minutes they kept bringing it up, and they're like, yeah, we know that this is how you guys play it on Madden, but like, every yeah. 5 seconds. No, that's not exactly how Madden works, number one. And number two, I just feel like it's something made strictly for millennials. Skycam, lots of cut angles, fast movement. It's like to keep people's attention, constant cut scenes. I feel like I was watching freaking Die Hard with all the cut scenes, explosions from the sidelines. It was absurd.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I liked it because I like the view. You can kind of see the whole field. You can see the defense reacting. You can see the entire secondary and everything like that. But it does take away from the traditional view and the traditional excitement and understanding of a regular football game. So that, it does take away. So I can see where Tim does make a good point of the millennials and everything like that. So
I feel like if they had less movement of the camera itself, like there were quite a few times where, like specifically, they were behind the offense And if and there was run plays where they went the perfect direction, so you had the perfect angle and you saw the holes open up, you saw the blocking schemes, you saw that. That's great. I love that. I love that how that all broke down. It's just sometimes it was way too much when the play's moving, the camera's moving. I'm like, I'm going to have a seizure right now.
I think the biggest takeaway that I took from it is I don't think that they should have made a like the entire game camera, that camera view-wise. If you're going to do that, you should almost make it where the game is on ESPN. And if you want to watch that camera angle, then maybe you go to ESPN.com and you can watch it online. And then you can watch the regular game on TV or somehow, some way on ESPN2, you can watch it on the different angle some way or another.
Times are changing, and you know they're trying to get Thursday Night Football ratings are still up and down, but they're trying to make it so no teams can argue that Thursday night should be eliminated. And they think by doing stuff like this, that's what's going to make a difference.
I did hear on the radio they were talking about how they should eliminate Thursday night games, and they said, yeah, they should just move it to Saturdays. College football's on Saturday. You can't compete with that. I don't understand what their thinking is.
No. I think you're totally missing the point there. That's just a friendly. That's a friendly gentleman's agreement saying, hey, NCAA, we're not going to mess with you, you know, outside of perhaps a couple weeks towards the end of the year.
Yeah, because if they start doing that, then college football is going to start putting Bama versus LSU on a Sunday to try to mess with the NFL's rankings or ratings. So that I agree with Tim. That's just a friendly, like, stay off Saturday, we'll stay off Sunday.
I will say one of my biggest takeaways from this game, outside of the Steelers are going to be dominant at home, so them having so many home games down the stretch, potentially getting the overall number one seed is going to be extremely, extremely important for them because this game showed that they are a totally different team. Marcus Mariota may be one of the biggest busts this season. Now, you know, him and Derek Carr, in my opinion, are neck and neck.
Both of them completely, most of us football media completely overrated them as passers in my eyes. Mariota, he looked very he kind of looked like a rookie quarterback out there throwing, and when they're asking him not to be mobile and not to be throwing on the run and having those designed quarterback runs, that's a huge part of his game still, and I don't know if he's ever going to be able to be that pocket quarterback, pocket passing quarterback that beats you that way.
Tom, you and I talked about it a little bit on Thursday. Josh, you were there too, so I guess you also talked about this. But just how I feel like the Titans – coaching staff is setting that team up to fail. They have no identity, in my opinion, whatsoever. They don't know if they want to have DeMarco Murray or Derrick Henry. They don't know which wide receivers they want to play around. They don't know if they want Marcus Mariota to be inside the pocket or outside of the pocket. They don't know what they are doing. They have no idea.
It's a very good point. Yeah, do you run the ball with DeMarco? Do you run the ball with Henry? Do you throw the ball to Rashard Matthews? Do you throw it to Eric Decker or Corey Davis? Like you said, they have a identity crisis on their hands, and they need to figure that out, and they will not figure it out this year. They got to figure it out next year, and maybe the drafting of Corey Davis and the drafting of, and I forget his name.
Adoree Jackson,
but the tight end that they drafted as well.
Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith, maybe drafting them, maybe that is the answer, but they have to figure it out and figure it out quick. So, next up, we have the first game for Sunday. The Detroit Lions travel to the Chicago Bears, and the Lions pull out a win, 27-24. And I was watching this game at work, and I saw the Bears score a touchdown. I saw them kick the field goal, and then I was like, you know what? The Bears have a shot. And then I sat there, and I'm like, and we were talking back and forth, and I said, it doesn't matter. Detroit's going to get a turnover eventually. They're going to score a defensive touchdown. And what did they do? They did just that. The defense did what they needed to do and came out with a win in this one.
You know, as a Bears fan, I will tell you this. I'm one of the few Bears fans who was okay with losing that way. Listen, you got to see Trubisky. They opened him up a little bit, right? They opened him up. He made some big plays. You got to see why they liked him so much with his mobility on his feet on that long third down, or might have even been fourth down.
It was fourth and 13.
Fourth down, you know. looking downfield, kept his eyes downfield, and his ability to keep his eyes downfield looking for that wide receiver is what opened up the middle of the field, even though he had a lot of pressure on him, and he was able to then rush for the first down. Made all the right plays, made all the right calls. The look on his face when they missed that kick was probably the highlight of my season as a Bears fan, because he was like a virgin who saw boobs for the first time. it was hilarious. And you know, the Lions, they got to survive Soldier Field. Yep. That's the way I put it. They got to survive. Matthew Stafford, big thing here, surpassed Troy Aikman on the passing list, passing yards. So that's a big deal for him. That was his childhood hero. So good for him. I'm a big Matthew Stafford fan, even though I'm a Bears fan. And yeah, Bears aren't going anywhere, so I don't mind the loss at all. And they got Cairo Santos, who I believe is probably going to be the best kicker possible for any team who's struggling for a kicker, you know, coming off an injury.
If you're a Bears fan, you got to be extremely happy with the growth of Mitchell Trubisky. Look, this game, Tim brought it up, they put a lot more on his plate. He had to throw the football 30 times in this game. Only 180 yards. He had one touchdown, but zero interceptions. He only got sacked one time against a good pass rush for the Lions, something they've been good at getting after the quarterback. And he did a good job. And you look at former early quarterbacks being drafted. Look at Jared Goff, his rookie year, how horrendous he looked. And a lot of people say that's because he didn't have any weapons. Look at Trubisky. His top receivers, Dontrell Inman, Kendall Wright, my boy Trey McBride. It's not many guys who are very good and good offensive weapons.
I'm sorry, I can't believe I forgot to bring this up. We had a touchdown.
Yep.
One Adam Shaheen, boys. This is what the Bears, yep. It was last week I went off and said, what are the Bears doing? They need to have Trubisky and Howard and Adam Shaheen in together on every single play so they can figure it. This is it. It's only 180 yards and a touchdown, but that's against not only a good defense, but a great secondary.
Yep.
A fantastic secondary in Detroit.
To add on to that, Tim, with Shaheen, he played a lot in the first half, and then after that, there was no Shaheen. And then at the end of the game, and I think this is probably the biggest thing that I take away, it was the 2 minutes offense that they were doing. There was no Tariq Cohen. There was no Adam Shaheen. And Adam Fox, or John Fox's reasoning behind it was that we have veteran players on the team that are receivers and running backs that are a little bit more comfortable in that situation, which I agree with, but I disagree with because they need to learn as well.
You know, they do, but where they are being Division II players coming into the NFL, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. You know what? You don't want to have an offside penalty, a holding penalty. You don't want to have stupid plays like a Connor Barth terrible field goal cost you the game. Right, if you're gonna go out and lose, let the veterans be the people who are, you know, you have who's the other Sims, Deion Sims, you know, let the Deion Sims, let the Zach Millers, let all the Kendall Wrights, the Dontrell Inmans, the guys who should be playing, you know, who are the veterans on the team, let them go out there and give Mitchell Trubisky that confidence. Right, that was to me, that was the confidence builder for Trubisky.
Tim, you are such a John Fox apologist.
I hate John Fox.
Completely wrong decision. You're defending him. It's a terrible thought process. Tariq Cohen is their best receiving player on this team. He should be in those situations. Adam Shaheen should be in those situations. He showed early in this game. Just give me the damn football and look what I could do with it. Only 4 targets, 4 receptions, 10 yards per reception. Those two should have been on the football field at those times. They are extremely important learning experiences for them. So next year, that's when you're going to have these guys learning, when you're going to be trying to compete and you're not trying to suck right now. Just put them in the game. Let them learn the hard way.
Is Tariq Cohen your first or second best pass blocking running back? No. Is Adam Shaheen your first or second best pass blocking tight end? No. This is a situation to build up Mitchell Trubisky and keep him clean. That is why I think John Fox made the correct decision.
Wrong. Moving on, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars going to the Cleveland Browns. Jacksonville wins this one 19-7. And Leonard Fournette ended up playing 28 carries, 111 yards. On the other side of the ball, we have Corey Coleman coming back from IR. 11 targets, 6 receptions, 80 yards. Is that the the player or the piece that the Browns need to come back and battle with some teams down the stretch?
They, I don't know what the Browns need. Did you see that? I know it was on NFL Reddit today, and then ESPN picked it up as well, I believe, that the Browns still have a chance to make the playoffs.
Do they?
Yeah, they have. They have to win out, and then there's like 7 games each week that have to go a certain way, and they could make the playoffs at 6-10. Pretty fantastic for whoever did that. Josh, I know the big thing going into this week will be when Josh Gordon is practicing again. Hugh Jackson said something like, you know, this was Christmas or whatever. I don't know. The Browns.
Browns are going to Browns.
The Browns are going to Browns. I just hope that with, again, another monster draft ahead of them, just like last year, they did. I thought they drafted well last year outside of the Jabril Peppers draft pick. They can do a lot on offense going into this year with what they have. And I'm sorry, DeShone Kizer is not the answer. They need to figure out the quarterback position just like everyone else does, but let Kizer play, I guess, and see what the hell happens. I don't know.
This Jaguars defense right now, it's special, man. You see what they're able to do to pretty much every team. The addition of, what the hell is his name, Marcell Dareus, that has helped shore up that rush defense. Yannick Ngakoue is playing lights out right now. He's their best pass rusher. Malik Jackson, you got Calais Campbell, Dante Fowler. They go like 10 deep at pass rush. Rambo in the secondary, Ramsey and Bouye, best group or best duo at cornerback in the league. Good safeties. This seems scary. And when the weather starts getting cold, they got a big bruising running back in Leonard Fournette, and they can play some good defense as long as Blake Bortles doesn't shoot this team in the freaking foot. They're gonna be fine.
Do you guys? I want to have a poll question. We don't have poll questions here, but I want to have a poll question. Do you guys think that Blake Bortles is just a huge asshole now? Like, he's just a cocky prick because he thinks he's the reason that the Jaguars are winning?
No.
He kind of comes off as that type of guy to me.
He's got to know.
I don't think he does.
He's got to know.
I don't think he does. Like, the same way Brock Osweiler, when he was with the Browns this year, was like, yeah, we know who should be number one on the depth chart. That's how I think Blake Bortles is. I think he's just a dickhead.
Maybe.
I hope so. I truly hope so.
What does Jacksonville do? Obviously they got a great record, 7-3. They're gonna most likely make the playoffs. Do they still draft a quarterback early?
Trade for Alex Smith.
Or
Eli.
With the issues with Baker Mayfield, if he does drop in the draft, I don't think he will. But if he does and he's there late in the first, what do you do? Do you draft him?
I think you have to. Same situation like when the Packers got Aaron Rodgers. That's great value if you're getting the Baker Mayfield. A lot of people right now have him as their number one quarterback. Yeah. He's got a little issues with authority and following the rules.
Issues with everything.
He's kind of got that little Johnny Manziel in him besides being short.
But let's tell that.
Plus, he is, 6 foot, right?
Yeah.
In his apology today, he was tearing up like a little bitch.
I can fake cry too, man.
Yeah, No.
Yeah, I can.
And I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying, like, come on, man. Someone didn't shake your hand, so after you destroy them, you freaking grab your jaw.
I'd do the same thing.
Tell them to suck your dick, is fine.
I'd do the same
thing. But then when you get in trouble for it, you're like, I'm so sorry. Like, come on, man.
It sucks. I mean, with him, his last home game as a senior, and he gets his captain taken away. So he's no longer a captain. He doesn't start his last home game as a senior.
It's meaningless.
I get it. I totally understand it.
It's
I get it.
Meaningless discipline.
Yeah.
What he should have done is just been a man and said, listen, there's times when it's okay to cry. Tim Tebow, when he lost that game and said, we're going to come back. Oh, that's a okay, badass cry. That's a whiny little bitch cry. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I'm a man. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. That's it. Nothing else to be said.
Also, on top of that, those 3 Kansas players also got their captainship taken away.
For
as well.
What?
For refusing to shake their hand.
Oh, my. Who cares?
I'm just letting you know.
Baker Mayfield. All right. I talked about, I hope Blake Bortles is a dickhead. Baker Mayfield, I love him. He's a dickhead.
He's a total dickhead.
Which is cool.
He'd be a great... Yeah,
accept it.
He would be a great fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He would. I'd be okay with it.
Bring that swag.
I like the swag.
You got Leonard Fournette. You got that defense. You got him. You got... Man,
that'd I like the attitude. I wish he would have been up there. You know what? I didn't handle things correctly. I felt disrespected. I wanted to defend my team. So, yeah. I told him to suck my dick. What do you guys want from me?
That's what's wrong with our society. That should be allowed. If I go to shake Tim's hand and he like pulls it away, I'd be like, fuck you, and I'd do the suck it to him.
No,
that's what should be allowed. That should be accepted. Our society sucks.
What I want is for him just to be like, yeah, I shouldn't have told this guy to suck my dick. Like, I want him to just come out and say it like that. Just like that. Like, happy, like, yeah, my bad. I'll have to deal with the consequences. Not crying about it.
Yeah, I don't like the crying.
That could cost him a lot. I mean, it cost him his captain is gone. He doesn't start. Granted, it doesn't matter. He doesn't start his last game as a senior. Heisman, it could cost him that. Again, doesn't really matter too much right now. And the fact that it might drop him down in the rankings for quarterback in the draft.
There's a lot of
issues with what he did.
If he takes Oklahoma on to win the Big 12 championship and makes it into the championship game of the NCAA, which I'm calling right now, Alabama and Oklahoma are going to end up playing each other in the opening round, and Oklahoma is going to end up upsetting Alabama. I'll tell you that right now. Only team that has a chance to beat Alabama is Oklahoma. Only offense powerful enough to beat Alabama. Anyways.
The convicts have a chance.
No, they don't.
That turnover chain?
They suck. They're terrible.
Come on, man.
Miami is awful.
Let's talk about another game.
Yeah. Ravens versus the Green Bay Packers. Mike Agent, they got blanked 23-0. Alex Collins looking like the guy.
Two of the last three games, this Baltimore Ravens team has shut out an opponent, and it's pretty impressive. I don't care who you're facing, but a big-time game for that defense. Brett Hundley, he looked pretty bad, was doing his best. Marcus Mariota in this game was turning the football over left and right. Jamal Williams, again, getting close to 20 carries and only averaging about 3 yards per carry. Not great, but that whole backfield right now is a mess. That whole team right now for the Packers is a mess. The only good thing about for them, they'll probably be able to add a stud player next year in the draft because this team is going nowhere but down.
You know, I was pretty irritated by my own fan base this weekend. A lot of Bears fans out there saying, don't worry, Green Bay. This is just how the Packers are going to look after Aaron Rodgers. Blah, 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 blah. The dude's 33 years old. He realistically could play for another 3 to 5 years, more than likely. Absolutely just obnoxiously stupid thing to say. And even more so than that, I think this shows that Devontae Adams is the lead guy there for sure. He's able to catch the ball. He just is making plays, even with Brett Hundley, where he looks phenomenal, absolutely fantastic. I fully expect him to be the lead dog and the offense to be run through him going into next year.
They got
to
re-sign him, though.
Yeah.
Free agent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they will. Yeah.
If you were the Packers, would you move on from Hundley at this point, or would you stick with it?
I would.
Callahan, that's the other guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're 5-5 right now, so you're what, a game? You're only a game out. Oh no, what are the Vikings are what, 7-4 or 8-2 or
They got eight wins now.
They're 8-2.
Yeah, they just beat the Rams, so they got 8 wins.
They're 8-2. The Lions are 6-4. You're 3 games back. You still have a chance. I know that there were still talks about Rodgers potentially coming back off the pup at some point this year. I don't know. If it's me, I eat it. Hope for it's hard to eat it right now, really. Yeah. Because unless you lose out, you're not going to get a top 15 draft pick. So, I don't know. Do whatever the hell you want, Green Bay. Shut up.
Next up, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Miami Dolphins. And Tampa Bay wins 30-20, and Jay Cutler was replaced by one Matt Moore because Jay Cutler threw 3 interceptions, only 6 completions, and Jay Cutler's bad.
Well, Matt Moore actually came in because Cutler got hurt.
Regardless.
This reminded me of a prototypical 2014 Bears game. That's 100% watching it. Cutler going out there, being miserable, just being Jay Cutler. Ends up getting hurt. I think it might have been a concussion or a shoulder. I don't know. It's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
And he should honestly
be arrested and convicted of robbery and fraud. Because he was fraud for pretending to be a quarterback and stealing all of that money from the poor Miami Dolphins. And I'm blanking now. Miami Dolphins head coach.
Gase.
Thank you. Adam Gase should be ashamed of himself for allowing himself to be duped by one Jay Cutler. Josh, you called it, I believe, when it happened. Should have just went with Matt Moore. Let Matt Moore run the season. Would have been a very similar record, if not better.
Yeah, I think they would have at least another maybe win or two, if that's the case. And I just think Matt Moore had the confidence in the team at the time. You bring in Jay Cutler, throws everything off.
This was a pretty crazy game, especially the ending of this game. I know Tampa kicked a field goal with like 3 seconds left that got them the 3-point lead, and then the Dolphins fumbled the kickoff return for a touchdown, so somehow they got 10 points right at the end. But if you're a Bucs fan, you have to be kind of in purgatory right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick has won 2 games in a row for your team, and something Jameis Winston has struggled to do all year. He's going to miss a couple more games, it seems like. And this team overall just seems to be playing better with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has shown that he's nothing but a journeyman quarterback. And Winston is a guy that you thought your team was going to be built around for years to come, who would be your franchise quarterback, and kind of in limbo right now.
I feel like Dirk Cutter's a lot like me. And ever since he saw that video of Jameis Winston licking his fingers for his pregame hype-up speech, Josh, I'm not even saying this to be rude. I can't get it out of my head. Anytime anyone says Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all I can picture is that moron licking his fingers. It makes me sick to my stomach. I hate it. I don't know if it'll ever go away. I don't want Jameis Winston to succeed anymore. I drafted him in one of my leagues. He was one of my quarterbacks. He scored me less than 3 points 3 times this year. and that just capped it off. I'm done. That's it. Jameis, I'm pronouncing you dead.
That might be our worst call of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we have him as a top 7 guy.
Yeah.
A lot of people are high on him.
That's bad. I had the Bucs bad, but I didn't expect it to be because of him.
Miami, who's the running back to own from here on out? Or who should the Dolphins ride with? We see Damian Williams. He had 10 for 78, but 69 of those yards came on one carry.
Yep.
Kenyon Drake, 7 for 4. I don't know what to do.
It's frustrating. For the eye test, I think Kenyon Drake's been able to do more with less total touches. Williams has been getting more touches the last 3 weeks, but it'd be hard to start either one of them, maybe if you're desperate at a flex, but we don't got buys no more. So I'd be happy cutting bait with either of them right now.
Kenyon Drake, Alabama, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's very tough. I personally like Drake, but
he's more explosive and he's more explosive to get a big play.
And it seemed like when they were in the red zone, he was in there like 2 out of 3 plays. Like he didn't do anything this week, but I don't know. It's one of those, like Tom said, eye test. I would pick him, but it's definitely a coin flip.
Next up, game of the week: L.A. Rams versus the Minnesota Vikings. At least that's what it was on paper. Rams lose this game 7-24. Case Keenum throwing a touchdown, 280 yards passing. Latavius Murray coming back to life, 2 touchdowns again. And white guy from Vikings, Adam Thielen, 6 for 123 and a touchdown. Do you guys know where that puts Adam Thielen at the year for receiving for wide receivers?
Fourth,
I believe.
That's crazy. I know he's on pace to have the best wide receiver season for the Vikings since Randy Moss.
Good company to be in.
It's crazy. A white guy from Vikings blowing up.
Did you guys watch this game at all? Because this is the main game I started to watch.
Yeah, I was flipping back and forth between that and then just red zone.
Kind of crazy because the Rams, their first possession, they moved the football right down the field. They scored. It looked like a hot knife going through butter. I was like, this is going to be a good game. I'm excited for this because I was a little worried that they'd be able to score on the tough Minnesota Vikings defense. And after that, they really couldn't do anything. They were able to get after Jared Goff. Todd Gurley was held in check. And the Vikings, man, they're legit, and they have the right guy at quarterback right now.
I don't want to, you know, it's hard to blame one guy for the way that a game went.
Cooper Kupp.
But Cooper Kupp single-handedly, multiple times, changed the direction of this game. Fumbling on the 1-yard line when you essentially have a touchdown And I believe at that point it would have been 14-14 or 17-14, something like that. And then there was another – he dropped numerous balls in the third and fourth quarter. That's huge. Against a tough defense on the road, those are momentum shifters right there, big time. So we all love Cooper Kupp here, but in my opinion, he is the main reason why they lost that game.
Interesting. Last thing I want to talk about, because we talked about a pre-show here, Vikings. Do they stick with, one, Case the Great Keenum, or do they move on, even though he has not done anything to make you want to move on, to Teddy Bridgewater?
I think they should stay with Case. Right now, they're 8-2, 5-1 at home, in control of their own destiny right now. There's a chance they could have home field advantage throughout the playoffs if the Eagles slip up one more time. They got to stick up with Case Keenum right now. That team is – they're rallying around him. He is their leader. And if they switch to Teddy Bridgewater right now, I feel like this team would fall apart. Even though Teddy Bridgewater might be the better quarterback, we don't know. We haven't seen him play in a while, though. And even when he did play, all he was a game manager.
So Mike Zimmer's already come out, said Case Keenum is starting, right? He also said today, the quote of the day, I don't know if you guys saw this, that, and I quote, "The thing I like about Case is he's got big balls. He's not afraid to pull the trigger." So apparently Coach Zimmer likes his balls. With that said, is exactly what I told you guys last week. You know, Case is a good game manager. He doesn't do stupid things. He reminds me of Alex Smith 3-4 years ago. But like you alluded to, Tom, Teddy Bridgewater, in my opinion, is the better quarterback. And not now, but 3-4 weeks from now, the Vikings might be on a little bit of a skid, 1-2-game skid, and they're going to wish that they went with Bridgewater earlier, because then they're going to be transitioning while making a playoff push. And it's going to make things confusing, and it's going to make things awkward. I hope I'm wrong. I like this Vikings team. I like Latavius Murray. I like Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and that defense is fantastic. But I feel like the Vikings are making a mistake right now. They had a hard time. It was very close. I mean, it seemed like it came down to the wire of who they were starting this week. Now they can't turn away. Last week was the make-or-break week, right? They could make the switch or not. They didn't. Keenum comes in. He gets the win. All right, they have to stick with him now until he shits the bed. But I think they're going to regret it.
Now, this, I believe, is the actual game of the week, Washington Redskins against the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints win this game in overtime, 34-31, coming back big while they were down, and the Saints win this. Drew Brees, 2 touchdowns, 385 yards. Again, the great play of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, 11 for 134 and a touchdown, 8 for 42. But then Alvin Kamara also had 6 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. Is there any stopping this New Orleans Saints team here?
It is. It's tough right now. They should not have won this football game. But in the fourth quarter, Drew Brees was absolute money. Mark Ingram was money. Alvin Kamara was money. They were able to move the football, scored 18 points in the fourth quarter, and then the field goal in overtime to win this football game. But that's the one big difference that the Saints have right now. This team, they're a team that with a game managing quarterback, they would be very good as well, because they got a good defense. They could run the football. But when they have a shitty first 3 quarters of the game, they have Drew fucking Brees to come lead them back. If you put the Vikings in this situation with Case Keenum, they would have lost this football game. If you put the Chiefs in this situation with Alex Smith, they probably would have lost this football game. Not many quarterbacks can do that like Drew Brees, and that's what sets this team apart right now and what makes them, in my opinion, them the second best team in the NFC behind the Eagles right now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what the New Orleans Saints are doing. A couple things out of this game, obviously, Chris Thompson and Terrell Pryor both going on IR after this game. You have, I know the NFL came out afterwards, said that there was an intentional grounding call by Kirk Cousins late in that game.
Yeah.
NFL said that should not have been intentional grounding.
It was close to the field goal, right? Where they could have kicked the field goal.
Yep. And then the next play they got sacked and that sent it to overtime.
Yep. So that's that was obviously a big hit to them.
Did you guys see that play?
I did not.
Was it?
I thought it was.
Yeah. Did you? Well, I mean, NFL came out themselves. They said it was wrong. So
why did they say that? I didn't see it.
It was kind of a weird play because he was in the pocket in between the tackles. The receiver ran a slant and he looked like he threw it way out of bounds, but he never left the pocket. So it depends if you say he overthrew it or if he just tried to get rid of the football because he did have
so
pressure.
So you could make an argument either way.
Either way, yeah.
Very curious to watch the play because I didn't see it.
So regardless, they have that. I mean, you have the Saints. You have the Drew Brees passing Saints, right? Well, you got guys in Kamara and Ingram who are on pace right now to have over 1,400 yards apiece. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. It hasn't been done since, like, an 80s Browns team or something like that. Maybe even later. That it's absolutely crazy. And Saints are doing it on defense.
Yep.
That secondary, what they added in the draft, has been absolutely absurd. And I know their top pass rusher, and I'm blanking on his name right now, got hurt. They're hoping it's not serious, but
Okafor.
Thank you. He's there. They believe he might be done for the year.
Yeah.
That would be a huge blow, but props to the Saints for improving their changing pace. Right, is what you hope at all. Every team hopes that they can do. Switch it up, and I have to give all the credit to Sean Payton. You're talking, last year potentially being fired as head coach of the Saints. Now he's turning around after starting 0-2, 8 wins in a row. Crazy.
I have one last question for you guys.
Nope.
Alvin Kamara, is he the NFL Rookie of the Year?
That's tough. He's right there, but I'm going to say a quote from Sean Payton. The only thing that's going to stop him from getting Rookie of the Year is me. And him but he's not getting the amount of touches, I think, to be labeled as that dominant lead dog. Because right now he's running back 2 on that team. Mark Ingram is the guy that starts every week, and I don't think Kamara will get it.
So who do you give it to?
It's tough.
Trubisky. Just kidding.
I mean, you got to theoretically believe it's between, if you're going to go to the offensive side of the ball, it's got to be between Alvin Kamara, it's got to be between Leonard Fournette and Kareem Hunt, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be between those three.
It might be Kamara right now, after thinking about it. It would have been Watson if he played the whole year.
Correct,
It didn't get hurt because his pace was torrid. But
I don't think you are going on the offensive side of the football.
They got an offense and defensive one, though.
Oh, okay. Well, on the defensive side of the ball, I believe it's going to be Marshawn Lattimore. As long as he's healthy, I know he potentially could be hurt more than he alluded to prior to this game. Offensive side of the ball, if he shows any signs of life, I believe it's Kareem Hunt. If he shows any signs of life down the stretch.
Chris Thompson breaking his leg, Samaje Perine. He is the guy to own, correct?
Correct.
He's hurt too, though.
Perine will be fine.
God, shut up.
He probably be a top 15 back for the next rest of the season.
Pork rinds.
They picked up, who was it? Was it Byron Maxwell or something?
No.
Marshall?
Yeah.
Byron Marshall, right?
Yeah.
I think they had him last year. He got hurt pre-camp, and then they cut him. But Samaje Perine, the guy to own if he's there.
Perine looked good.
Yeah, he looked all right. 23 carries, 117 yards, and a touchdown. He did have one catch, 2 targets. But we have seen Chris Thompson get a lot of targets out of the backfield, so I think that number will go up. I think you might have up to 4 targets out of the backfield because Chris Thompson does draw a lot of attention when he is lined up back there.
You guys see the Texans picked up Andre Ellington?
Yep,
I did see that.
It's pretty crazy. He said he's going to play right away.
I could definitely
see
that
him
happening.
With Foreman going out.
Next up, we have the upset of the week. Kansas City Chiefs lose a heartbreaker to the New York Football Giants, 9-12. What a lot of offense.
I don't know if I've ever been so wrong at predicting how a game would go. I thought the Chiefs would get up early, get up often. I thought Eli would have a good game since they'd be down so much. And it was complete opposite. Alex Smith looks like old Alex Smith. It looks like the cold weather. It looks like he can't throw the football past 10 yards again. When early in the season when they were 6-0, going after those vaunted Miami Dolphins for that undefeated season, they were throwing the football down the field, stretching the field. Now they're not doing that. Kareem Hunt looks pretty average out there. Telling people last week, trade him away now when you can, when his value is still high. His value is going down each week. I think he's going to have a big week this week against Buffalo. But just a tough loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. 6-4 right now.
A lot of talk right now about how well one Patrick Mahomes has been looking in practice. But before I let Tim go on with that, I do want to say the person who got the game ball in this game was not one Orleans Darkwa, was not one the kicker. It was one Ben McAdoo. They said, this one is for you, Ben. This one is for you. Here's your job.
You know who said that? Ben McAdoo. He gave it to himself.
That's awesome.
No one. He gave a post-game speech literally to himself in his office. Kenny Powers, a.k.a. Ben McAdoo, the worst coach in the NFL. He has no business being a coach after this season.
Tim, does Mahomes, does he end up as the quarterback?
Before I get there, I will say, listen, Kareem Hunt still has some value. I'm not, like Tom saying, get rid of him completely. This is what happens with Chiefs running backs. That's why they went from Priest Holmes to, you know, who is the winner?
Larry Johnson.
They had Larry Johnson. They've had Jarkandrick West. They had Terrence. They've had everyone. Everyone you could possibly. They've had Jamal Charles. They had numerous players over these last, you know, 8 years who have had monster games. And Kareem Hunt had a few monster games in the beginning. He's still very young. He's still a part of that offense, which is important. He's still the main part. Spencer Ware was the other guy I was looking for. There's a lot there. Now, when it comes to Alex Smith, I don't believe that the Chiefs can start Patrick Mahomes now until they're out of it. They're ride or die. They have to be. Listen, you can't be, if you're above 500 at all, you can't be saying, hey, we're going to go with our gunslinging rookie quarterback. Just can't do it. You have to give your team the best chance to win. And as much as I love Patrick Mahomes and as much as I would love to be right and say I told you so, I just can't see the Chiefs doing it, and I can't see Andy Reid pulling that trigger.
Yeah, I agree.
I want him to. I would love this week for the 6-4 Chiefs to roll out with a freaking big arm Patrick Mahomes. I don't see it happening.
Next game, we have the game of the worst quarterbacks starting this week. We have the Arizona Cardinals versus the Houston Texans. Blaine Gabbert threw 3 touchdowns. They scored 21 points as a team. Houston Texans with Tom Savage threw 2 touchdowns and scored 31 points. Deonta Foreman out for the year, scored 2 touchdowns. Very disheartening. And Foreman really looked like he was getting ready to own that backfield. He had 10 rushes for 65 yards. Lamar Miller had more than double his carries for less yards and no touchdowns. So very upsetting for the young rookie. And yeah, kind of sucks.
You can hear the Texans just like, we're going to have Lamar Miller on our team for another year.
Anything that could have went wrong this year.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. Anything that could have went wrong this year happened.
They lose all their tight ends. Then they have a quarterback. He dies. Then Deonta Foreman shows some life. He dies.
J.J. Watt.
The only
Whitney
thing,
Merciless.
The, yeah. Right. I mean, everything, like you said, Cushing, everyone.
But Blaine Gabbert had 3 touchdowns and 257 yards passing. I was happy for him.
Hell yeah. We're telling people, feel comfortable starting whoever is the Arizona Cardinals quarterback. We predicted their wide receivers have a big day. We're a little off at that, but Ricky Seals-Jones, yeah. Never heard of the guy, but he had 2 touchdowns. That's something we were expecting one of the receivers to get, but big game for Fitz, and it's a big win. Big win for the Texans. Kind of hurting their draft stock a little bit, but yeah, the Foreman news, it really sucks. He's so much better than Lamar Miller in my eyes. You watch him play, he looks more explosive, he's bigger, looks more reliable, and he gets hurt.
Well, the Texans, I don't believe, care anyway, because I believe they gave up their first-round draft pick in order to get
Deshaun Watson.
Thank you, Deshaun Watson. I was laughing hard at Red Zone because after each of the what was that tight end's name?
Ricky Seals.
Yeah, Jones. They're like, all right, there's another touchdown. So for all of you Blaine Gabbert and Ricky Seals Jr. owners, you're really excited about this game. It was pretty good.
Anything else on this game?
Not really. Larry Fitz. I was happy to see he got a contract extension. So it looks
1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. He'll be playing again next year. I was happy about that. How do you not love Larry Fitzgerald? Just going out there doing it big time.
Next game, we have the Buffalo Bills with the rookie sensation Nathan Peterman, or as some people have heard on the radio calling him Nathan Peterson. They go, yeah, real professionals. They go, Nathan Peterson threw 5 interceptions. And I'm like, his name is goddamn Peterman. How can you not even get the kid's name right? But 5 interceptions in 1 half. And then Tyrod Taylor comes in, 12 or 15 for 25 for 158 and a touchdown. I don't know what the Bills are going to do here because you look at it, they were 5-4 on the verge of a playoff spot.
And they said, you know what? 5-3 at a point.
Yeah, and they said, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and sabotage ourselves. Who did they trade on the defensive side?
Darius.
Yeah, they traded him. And then they said, you know what? What else? How else can we screw this up? Well, let's throw in Nate Peterman and see how that goes.
I'm going to let you go, Tom, because I got a big rant ahead of me.
I just don't get it. It makes no sense. It hurts your team. Now all these other Buffalo Bills players have to be sitting there in the locker room and say, now what do we do?
They have to be worried about losing this team, which I think they did when they benched Tyrod Taylor. He's obviously the best quarterback on this team. And Nathan Peterman, God, his career might be freaking over with 5 picks in a half of your first NFL game.
Sounds like they're going to start him again.
It'll be tough. Yeah. I really don't know. This game was absolutely, it was crazy. I just remember watching the ticker. It seemed like every time it went around, the Chargers had another touchdown or Peterman had another interception. Just really not much to say about this game. Just those pass rushes for the Chargers. They were causing havoc early in this game, and that's what led to Peterman throwing those picks in my eyes.
So, first off, Nate Peterman did not get any help from some of his wide receivers. I believe 2 of those interceptions weren't his fault. Off the hands of wide receivers, went to the DBs. Regardless, out of it, I believe he had 15 total throws. There was someone out there going, oh, I believe McDermott said there was some good to that too. Although they said, McDermott's exact quote was something along the lines of, you know, he made those terrible interceptions, but there were also some plays where we're like, oh, this guy's really good. No, there wasn't. There wasn't. And I, you know what? I apologize. I falsely told everyone that Ben McAdoo was the worst coach in the NFL. No, that is safe for Sean McDermott. Absolutely atrocious. You have an offensive line that's bottom third for rushing and your third most sacks allowed of an offensive line for Buffalo. So you decide when you are facing Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, 2 of the best edge rushers in the league right now, that now's the time to bench the mobile Tyrod Taylor, who's going to at least be able to move things around, and bring in your rookie quarterback. Absolutely terrible, terrible coaching. The worst decision of the whole season right now, in my opinion. Absolutely atrocious. McDermott should be fired for doing this.
If you had the Chargers defense for fantasy, you're very happy. So,
yep.
Not bad.
Ridiculous.
Keenan Allen, 12 catches out of 13 targets, 159, 2 touchdowns. And Keenan Allen's back, or was it a 1 week wonder?
1 week wonder.
1 week.
All right.
He's still a guy you got to start every week, but wide receiver 2.
Yep.
Next up, we have the Cincinnati Bengals traveling to the Denver Broncos, and the Cincinnati Bengals win this one 20-17. Andy Dalton throws for only 154 yards, but 3 touchdowns, 1 to A.J. Green, 1 to Alex Erickson, and 1 to Tyler Croft.
Pretty ugly football game. Brock Osweiler still looked pretty bad out there. His QBR of 27.7, not very good. I was happy to see the Bengals, though, giving Joe Mixon 20 carries. It's what they need to do on a week-to-week basis. He didn't do much with it, only 49 yards, but they need to keep feeding him the football. Right now, Joe Mixon, flex option. It's going to be hard for him to do anything behind this offensive line. He was my number one running back in this draft class, but he's not a number or running back 2 right now.
You may have not have known it at the time, but if in the early 2000s you went and you were doing some research for school and you took out the dictionary, you flipped through the pages, and you went to the word cancer and you found a synonym, the word would be Brock Osweiler right next to it, because he is just a cancer for any team that he's on. He just is not someone you want to have. Mike McCoy being fired this week is a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Scapegoat.
It's absolutely a scapegoat. Now, and this goes to Elway as well. Elway is the issue there because he's just burning through coaches. Now they're going to start Paxton Lynch, which I'm assuming either McCoy said he wasn't ready, and that's why they ended up just firing him. But McCoy should have gotten an opportunity with their young quarterback of the future, in my personal opinion. Brock Osweiler is atrocious.
They literally could not give him away. They tried to give him to Goodwill. They wouldn't take him. There was no tax break involved. I absolutely despise the Broncos last week. Brock Osweiler screwed me in fantasy. This game pissed me off, everything about it.
C.J. Anderson also did not help out the cause at all. There was one key fumble that Perfect came in, put a helmet right on the ball.
Yep.
But he wasn't even close to being on the ground, and C.J. Anderson just looks, again, awful. And I think it's got to be Devontae Booker from here on out for the Denver Broncos.
Booker had more snaps this week. He outperformed them yet again, and it's been a week-to-week thing now. He's playing better than C.J. Anderson. Hopefully they'll give him a shot and see if he can be the lead dog there.
I think it's worth noting, I know I mentioned a little bit earlier, but it did come out this week that the Broncos did quietly shop one Demaryius Thomas around the trade deadline.
All right. Last three games of the week, we have the Patriots versus the Raiders, and that was in New Mexico. And no.
It was in Mexico.
Mexico, sorry. And
New Mexico's a state.
Yeah, Mexico, my
bad. It was in the old Mexico, Jeff.
And I was looking at New England Patriots, my fault. Patriots win this game 33-8. It's come out multiple times that nobody really wants to go there. The Raiders have lost multiple home games just because they are playing in Mexico. And as long as they say that they are going to go there as a visiting team or an away game, they're okay with it. But as a home game, and losing more home games because of that, they're not happy with that.
Well, it's weird. So, listen, everyone can say whatever they want. I know Bill Belichick was concerned about their safety and glad everyone got home safe or whatever. The Raiders, the stadium was full. I don't know if you saw. I mean, they had it was a packed stadium for a terrible, terrible game. So I agree, though, that they should stop going there. The air quality sucks. The safety is a big issue, and it doesn't do anything for the fans. Now, I saw, I don't know if you guys see Joe Thomas's comments.
No.
So, Bell, you know, he commented on, you know, Belichick was complaining about having to go to Mexico on this game, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, the Atlanta Falcons had to play on Monday Night Football, didn't get even get back home, or had to go across country on Monday Night Football, didn't get back home until 8:30 this morning, and the new week practice starts for them in less than 24 hours. So, how about that for sucking? So, kind of bring some perspective to how bad it could actually be, because I'm sure, you know, they were back home by, you know, Sunday night. I'm assuming they want to get out of Mexico as fast as possible.
Right now, the Raiders, probably the biggest disappointment out of any team in the NFL right now, 4-6, pretty much out of the playoff hunt. Derek Carr, extremely overpaid, does not look very good right now, and that whole organization, whole team right now is a mess. It's really hard. I don't know if that the move to Vegas kind of got into their heads a little bit. It's kind of messing everything up, but there's serious issues there right now for Oakland.
I don't know what I'm more disappointed in is Marshawn Lynch's sitting for the national anthem, which I'm okay with normally, but then standing for the Mexican national anthem, which I think is absurd. Or
he's in his own world.
Oh, he's totally in his own world. You know, if this is where players should learn, if you're going to make a statement, make it by doing what you want to do and be quiet. Because there comes a time where you're going to make yourself look like an idiot. And that's what Marshawn Lynch did this past weekend, in my personal opinion. Nevertheless, his performance as a football player is what is more embarrassing to me. He is not helping Derek Carr at all. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that losing Latavius Murray and gaining Marshawn Lynch would drastically hurt Derek Carr, I would have told you were wrong. None of us thought Marshawn Lynch was going to be a monster fantasy asset, but I didn't think he was going to be this detrimental to the team.
That's true. We have Tom Brady, 30 for 37, 339, three touchdowns. In a future episode, we're going to talk about this because with the MVP races coming up, we just talked a little bit about Rookie of the Year, but MVP, you have to put Tom Brady in that category, and along with some other good guys. So it's going to be very interesting on how they figure that all out.
Freaking Tom Brady, that old bastard.
So good.
Redonkulous.
Patriots are 8-2.
It's crazy. Crazy to think about. Next game, we have the Philadelphia Eagles going to the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles win this game 37-9 with no kicker. And, Eagles dominated. Not the first half, but put on a show in the second half.
This oh, go ahead.
One of the worst times or one of the worst we've seen the Philadelphia offense look all year. That first half, horrendous. They really couldn't do anything. Dallas was able to get after them, but they turned it on in the second half. And Josh was talking about MVP candidates, Carson Wentz. He's another guy you have to be that you have to put in that consideration right now. He's been money most of the season. Didn't have the greatest numbers this week, 168 and two touchdowns, but they got the victory and they still put up 37 points. And that running back group right now that the Eagles have, it's deep.
You can give it to anybody.
Yeah, they're all looking good. That old line's looking good. The Jay Ajayi trade looks great right now. He did have that 71-yard rush, which kind of made the numbers look a little better than they were for most of the game, but they are looking good.
My favorite thing is they go, yeah, they got three or four different running backs that all have different type of physiques. They got Jay Ajayi that weighs 228 pounds. They have LeGarrette Blount that weighs 230. They got Corey Clement that weighs 222. I'm like, they're all like almost the same. Yeah. And then they're all different styles of running backs, but they complement each other very well. And then you throw in Kenyon Barner. Granted, he only had one carry, but man, he's a fast dude too. So, and then you add in Carson Wentz being able to run the ball. That guy has gotten away from so many pass rushes. It blew my mind. But the one thing I did want to bring up is, who is that defensive lineman that is very, very good at getting up the field? I can't remember his name, but for the Dallas Cowboys. And all they did was run that trap play every time. They did not even have to block him because he just overran the play every time. At that point in time, who's catching that? Is it himself? Is it the defensive line coach? Is it the defensive coordinator up in the box? Somebody's
got to
figure that
upstairs.
Out.
Who knows?
But
that?
That's the same shit as last week when they wouldn't give Chaz Green any help, and he gave up five or six sacks.
Yep.
And they just continued put him one-on-one against the same guy. And it's just bad coaching for the Cowboys.
David Irving, I believe, is who it was.
The inability to adjust. So like Tom said, and Josh also, you know, worst half of the Eagles season by far, down 9-7 at halftime, come out and just stick it to the Cowboys. This speaks numerous things. Josh mentioned the inability to adapt by the Cowboys, and I think that has to do a lot with what's going on off the field. That has to do with all the Zeke stuff. That has to do with the Jerry Jones stuff. I'm not trying to give the Cowboys an out here, but that's where I believe, listen, this is obvious stuff. Listen, I love us. We pay attention to a lot of football, but we're not like football geniuses. If you can blatantly see that over and over and over again on TV, how the hell aren't the coaches catching this?
Yeah.
I mean, and outside of that, I called it before, once the suspension was finally official, Dak Prescott is going to be garbage without Ezekiel Elliott.
The worst game by far in his whole career,
and it's happened. He is he doesn't have his safety blanket. He doesn't have the guy who he can just give to take over the game. He doesn't have the guy to give the blame to, is what it is.
Zeke's not even the best player they're missing right now. Tyrone Smith is the best left tackle in football.
Yes.
People can make arguments, but that dude's a freak. He's out, and I think Zeke is probably their second best player. So right now, if any team you're missing your best two players, you're going to struggle.
Tom.
And it's just a fact.
Tom,
it's going to happen.
If Tyrone Smith is out, but Zeke is still in, is it this dramatic of a difference?
No.
Absolutely not. That's my point. I do agree with you that, you know, losing such a valuable offensive lineman does hurt. But Zeke is that no matter what, he's going to get the ball. He's going to keep this team in every single game. And he has made Dak look like a Pro Bowl quarterback when he's not.
So, we talked about Tom Brady. We talked about Carson Wentz. Those are two guys that I think that are MVP potential. Now, moving on to the last game of the week, and I don't really want to get into the MVP talk this episode because I want to do it our next episode that we're going to talk about. But Atlanta Falcons win their game against the Seattle Seahawks. Go to Seattle. Win 34-31. But the other third candidate I would put up there for MVP is one Russell Wilson. Yes, the Seahawks are 6-4, but at the same time, Russell Wilson is on another planet right now. And if Russell Wilson is not the quarterback and is not playing, this Seahawks team is at best 3 wins and not 6 wins. Maybe two.
They probably have two.
Yeah.
I agree with that, but...
You could say that about almost any team, though.
But it's very tough for me... Yeah, it's very tough for me to give an MVP award to somebody that is on a 6-4 team. But, like I said, that's for a different episode. I just wanted to bring that up.
Only thing I will say to that is, if that were the case, Aaron Rodgers would have to win the MVP every single year. Because without him, the Green Bay Packers are dog shit, which is proven year after year.
Regardless, Russell Wilson, 26 for 42, 258, two touchdowns, one interception, but seven rushes, 86 yards, and a touchdown. On the other side of the ball, Tevin Coleman ran the ball 20 times for 43 yards and a touchdown. Matt Ryan, 195, two touchdowns. Julio Jones, only 71 yards receiving. Mohamed Sanu scored a touchdown, and Tulalulo scored a touchdown as well. And I believe that was the same play that they ran the last time with him as well, and they scored.
So my main takeaway of this is it's huge for the Falcons to win, especially on the road in a tough building against Seattle, especially with Matt Ryan not being Matt Ryan. Do you know that Matt Ryan had thrown for 200-plus yards in 64 consecutive games before that?
No.
The longest streak now is 15 by Ben Roethlisberger. Crazy. Absolutely crazy stat. It's not like they were overly powerful. Listen, they came – I'll be honest with you guys. I watched it. They scored the first touchdown on the opening drive. They had the interception, scored again. I fell asleep on the couch thinking it's out of touch. Seattle made it a game, but like you said, that all had to do with Russell Wilson, in my opinion. With that secondary being so banged up, so roughed up, to keep it even this close, I love this game. Perfect Monday Night Football game.
What was your guys' thought of the fake field goal attempt at the end of the half?
Absolutely horrendous coaching. I don't mind the play if there's time left, but he had to score a touchdown on that play, and I think he had to run like 15 yards.
I think it was 21 yards. Terrible. And they had one timeout 7 seconds before the half.
I don't think they had a timeout.
But
I think they used their last one.
If that defensive tackle gets blocked or doesn't make that great play he did, there's a chance that he scores a touchdown. But you shouldn't have ran that play.
So
take the points.
So
you get the ball at the half.
Listen, I think that's kind of the thought process. First off, props to the Falcons for sniffing it out. It wasn't even close, right? They shut that shit down right away. Pete Carroll came out and said, hey, if it works, you know, everyone's cheering us on. And that's kind of always how this shit is, right? I mean, anytime something like this happens, I think back to Sean Payton onside kicking coming out of halftime of the Super Bowl, right? If that goes the other way, he's a fucking idiot, and everyone hates Sean Payton, right? So it's hard to say. If I'm him, I get it, right? Trying to have some balls. You have a defense who's struggling a little bit. You got down big early at home, trying to give that extra little bit more, and you're going to get the ball in at the start of the half anyway. Now, 50-50 hindsight, you lose by a field goal.
Sucks.
Blair Walsh, who normally has a huge leg, comes up 3-4 yards short in a 51-yarder. It sucks, but I don't hate on a coach for trying to have some big balls in a situation like that.
Anything else?
Nope.
Pete Carroll, oldest NFL head coach right now, still too.
Pete Carroll is?
Yeah.
He's like 69 or something, right?
66. 66.
I just want to
He looks
like,
good.
Yeah.
Anything else this week, guys?
No, it was a fun week of football. I had a lot of fun on Sunday. You know, just how absurd it was. The Saints Redskins game was absolutely fantastic. Having the Bears Lions be close was fun. Even the Bengals Broncos game, I was happy to watch that. So,
all righty, Tom. Anything else? Closing words?
Nope.
No. All right. We got nothing else for you guys. Hope you guys.
I got one thing.
All right.
Oh.
Suck it, Tim.
Oh, why?
All right, man.
I'm trying to show props to Baker Mayfield.
Oh, okay.
I got your back, bro.
I believe he said...
Showing society it's all right to say that.
And I'll say exactly what Baker Mayfield said. Instead of choking up and crying like a little bitch, suck my dick, Tom.
That's all we got for you guys. Hope you enjoyed. You guys can always follow us on Twitter at PonyKick Sports, at PonyKick Tom, at MMA_News_Tim. And you guys can always email us, PonyKickSports@gmail.com. And hit us up on our website, PonyKickSports.com. Until next time, we'll see you.
Peace!